You're only out for yourself. You're always trying to get your own way.
It's ridiculous. You know I'm right, and you're just being stubborn as usual. You are not going out in public dressed like that. Put some clothes on.
Oh, Mom, you have no idea what's in style. This is how everyone's dressing. Plus, I get lots of attention looking this good.
You will never guess what she did. I'm telling you, I would never act that way. Plus, she's such a gossip. You can't trust her with anything. Don't tell her anything you wouldn't want the world to know. Ugh, I can't stand her.
Look around you, kids. Isn't God so good? The trees, they're all so beautiful. And the sun, it's peeking out of the clouds and it's breathtaking. God is such a wonderful creator.
Don't forget about the birds, Mom.
Yeah, and the school is too.
Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God.
Well, good morning. Hey, welcome to You Are a Community Church. My name's Ron. I'm the lead pastor here. It's so good to have you all here with us today for week two of our new series called Bless This Home. And we've been working through the summer, getting cranked up and kind of just had some great messages this summer. I hope you've been able to catch up with most of them. We talked last week about making church a non-negotiable, you know, going to church and being there, being worshipful. And that wasn't to make sure that you're here every Sunday. That's to make sure that you're worshiping at least once, one day out of the week, to make sure that you're putting yourself where you need to be. And so last week we talked about blessed, being blessed as a family, being able to have this opportunity to experience God working in our lives. And we're taking this series and we're working through some Beatitudes. Now, Beatitudes, that was some really cool teaching that Jesus gave early in his ministry that laid the foundation for so much of what we can learn and do that allows us to experience the life that he wants us to have. That word beatitude is really just a Latin word meaning blessedness. And we want to experience that. I think if we were to all be honest in the room and if I was to go around and ask you, do you want yourself and your home to be blessed? I think all of us would say, of course, we want that. So what we've done is Jesus taught us as individuals things that we can do to be blessed. Then what we're doing in this series is just taking them and applying them to us as a family and being able to put our families in a place to experience the things that God has for us. And last week we talked about hunger and thirsting for righteousness. Today we're going to talk about pure in heart. And next week, listen, it's going to be one of those that I think you're going to really want to be part of, because we're going to talk about being peacemakers. Now, here's what we usually know. We usually know peace takers, don't we? And so next week, we're going to talk about how to be a peacemaker. And so that person in your family, don't tell them exactly why you're inviting them, but you might just want to bring them with you, okay? Don't call them out or don't point them out. Just bring them with you, and let me see if we can teach them some things through the scriptures, because let's just all be honest, we're all probably peace takers at different points. And so we need to all be able to hear that message. So let's get started today with today's message. Here, let me ask you a question. Have you ever been robbed before? Anybody ever been robbed? Like you've been, your car broken into, your house broken into? So hold them up. All right. So a lot of us have experienced that before, that you've had someone come in and kind of violate your space and get, you know, get something of yours that belonged to you and not to them, and you've had to experience that before. And so I can honestly say I've never been robbed before, not like to my face, you know. I mean, there's things that have gotten me before, but I've never really been physically robbed. But I have spent most of my life preparing for that moment. Now, haven't you? I mean, come on, haven't you always thought about what would happen if somebody broke into your house, husbands, dads? You know, you've thought about it. If somebody broke in your house, your kids were there, man, let me just tell you, I got a baseball bat in my house. I know exactly where it is, and I know I could get to it pretty quickly. And somebody, you know, would take that home run shot right upside the noggin. I'm just telling you. I mean, we've all thought about that. I know you don't expect your pastor to get up and be so brutally honest with you and to talk about such brutal things, but, you know, let's just say it. We have this responsibility to protect our homes. And I think most of us would say we would do anything, and we would even give our own lives to protect our homes. We would protect it with everything that we got. And people would applaud us if we protected our home and our kids physically, wouldn't they? I mean, we might even get like our picture in the paper, and we might even get, you know, this accommodation or something for protecting our families physically. But what happens when we take steps to protect our families morally? It's often a different story, isn't it? Whenever we take steps to protect our families morally from things in the world that would affect their minds and their attitudes and everything else, we take heat for that. I've had people say, you know, you're a little too strict on your daughters. You know, you're gonna have to letten up because they're gonna become teenagers, and you're gonna have to. I'm like, no, I'm really not gonna have to. You know, if I keep saying I'm gonna have to, then yeah, I'm gonna have to. And I know some of you with older kids and stuff, you're like, boy, you just don't know what you're about to face. I know. I know it's gonna be tough. But we've got to make choices to be able to protect our families. And we often have people give us hard times for being able to do that. And I've had people say, you know, you shouldn't talk to them about that because that's going to offend them. You know, that's true. It probably will offend people. So you talk about how they dress, or you talk about how they talk, or you talk about different things with that. But the reality is that you have to take steps to protect people morally. If it's not them, then maybe it's somebody else that may be affected by them. And we've got to be able to do that, because the scripture teaches us that there are steps that we have to take. If we want to have our homes blessed, if we want to be blessed, then we have to take some steps to be able to do that. And today we're going to continue on in Matthew chapter 5. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and get them open. Get your YouVersion Live up and open so that you can follow along with us. But we'll put them on the screen for you as well. So we're beginning here in Matthew chapter 5, and we're just following Jesus' teaching, and we're taking what he gave us as individuals, and we're just overlaying it onto the family. Here's what he says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. He says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." All right, so let's do this. This is really a short one here. So let's say this together. On the count of three, let's say this together. 1, 2, 3. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. That's right. I mean, that's a pretty simple statement, but man, there is so much packed up in there. And so today I want us to be able to unload that and begin to see what it means to be blessed and what it means to be pure in heart. In the Greek, this word heart was the word cardio, and it's where we get our word cardiac from, and dealing with the heart. Now, what Matthew was writing about, Jesus wasn't talking about this, and as he wrote it and as he said it, wasn't talking about blessed are those who have a pure pumper that's all cleared up and it's pumping like it's supposed to pump. That's not what he was talking about. Because listen, if we go through here, most of us got a bunch of plaque and all that kind of crud in there. I got my lab work back, my cholesterol's all high and messed up and all that stuff. My pumper's not clear. So if that was the case, if he was talking about this thing, then guess what? I wouldn't see God. But he's not talking about our physical heart. He's talking about our emotions, our inside of us, our inner self of who we are inside. And he's saying that we need to have a pureness about us inside. So here we are. He's talking about our attitudes. You know, attitudes, really? Yeah, I got a 12-year-old that thinks he's like 21. Attitudes, yeah, that he's talking about our attitudes. Attitudes and motives. Motives? You mean you're going to talk about why I really do some things? Yeah, because it's in there. And then he talks about, he's bringing out the things about our actions and how we treat other people. Oh, man, really, Ron? You're going to talk? Yeah, we're going to talk about that today. Because he's talking about this pureness of who we are and why we do what we do and how we do it to other people. That when we are pure in those things, then we will see God. And that pureness, it comes out of us. So often we look at people and we say, oh, you know, that he's such a good person. Man, he's such a good, godly man. And it always trips me up because when I really have the kind of relationship with people, I can ask this. I say, well, what really makes him a godly man? Well, he's so good. He's just good to people, and he's good to that. And I'm like, but that doesn't make him a godly man. What makes us godly people, what makes us able to see God is not that we're just good, it's that our heart is pure, that why we do good things and why the good comes out of us is because of who lives in us. And here's the idea that without Christ, there is no such thing as a pure heart. Without him being inside of us, without having a relationship with him, there is no such thing as a pure heart. In fact, in Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 9 and 10, he says this, that the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. The heart is deceitful and above all things. It is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? The Lord search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve. The heart is deceitful above all and beyond cure. We read all the time how people say, just trust your heart. Man, if you know what God says about your heart, that is not good advice, because our heart is deceitful. You know, I confess, when we prayed together this morning with the praise team and the audio video team and all that. By the way, y'all did an amazing job today. Thank you for, I could have got up here and just said amen and we could have gone on. But the reality is we came in and we prayed together this morning and I said to them, I got to be honest, I got to confess my selfishness. This week's been a lot about me. I've been focused on me a whole lot and what I want and all that. So I had to, my heart this week was not very pure. It was very much about Ron. And so the heart is deceitful. My heart this week was just about making things work for me. And it didn't take into account a lot of other people. And so I had to be honest about that. Our heart is deceitful. Who can understand it? Man, if you try to figure out a heart, especially a female one, I mean, you're just going to fail. Yeah. I hadn't got any bad emails in a long time. I just wanted to get some, you know? I just thought I'd throw it out there. No, yeah. No, I'm kidding. You might cannot figure out a woman's heart, but try to figure out a man's brain. It ain't going to work. So how's that? Is that even? Are we good? All right. So the reality is we need to understand that here's what God says. I search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserves. Now, we don't earn our way into heaven. We don't earn our way into a relationship with God. But he does say that when he looks at the things that we do, he goes all the way to the really core of it. If we're just doing church to do church, let me just tell you, God knows that. It becomes very evident to him, and he knows that. So it's not just about showing up. If you're just showing up for the sake of showing up, listen, let me just tell you first, I'm glad that you're here, and don't stop doing that for now. But my prayer is that as you keep showing up just to show up, that God will begin to work in your heart and show you there is way more to it than just a check off the attendance log. There is so much more to it that he wants you to be involved. And he knows that the things that you do, where they come from and why you do it. And so he wants our motives to be pure. And all of us are capable of that. None of us have to be selfish. None of us have to be focused on ourselves. The good news is that when Jesus lives inside of us, we can allow that to, you know, we can take over and we can do our thing. He gives us that opportunity. But when he's in us, we can rely on him and allow our motives to be pure and real. And so much more it comes out of that than when we just do it for ourselves. In Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul is writing here. He's writing to the church in Ephesus. And he says this as to why we have some things happen. He says, they are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. That word ignorance, man, that's a tough word. You call somebody ignorant, that's fighting stuff right there, man. You know, that's like a, I know that Gabe, being from West Virginia, probably gets that a lot. But the reality is that he's been gone for 2 weeks, y'all. I ain't got to pick on him. So he'll get me back. Don't worry. You know, that's what it's all about. We have more fun with each other. You guys should hang out with us when we go busting on each other for real. Anyway, so he's from West Virginia, just in case you didn't know. But anyway, so the reality is that they're ignorant because their hearts have been hardened and they've found themselves in this darkness that doesn't allow them to see what's really going on around them. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. He says, man, they're into all kinds of stuff. They're into everything. And you don't have to look far. You just flip on the news, and all of that stuff is there. All the things that the scriptures teach us that their hearts become hardened to, it's around us all the time. It's easy for us to allow ourselves to be found in the darkness with all this stuff around us, keeping us from being able to understand and know what God wants for us, because we've got everything around us. And the problem is we find ourselves there and we don't even realize it. We're in the middle of it, but we don't even know what's happening. We become hardened to the things that matter most in our lives. You ever walked into a movie theater just as they shut the lights off to begin the movie? I mean, you know, some of you feel that way when you walk in here, I know, but you go in and they just shut the lights off and you're stumbling over the steps and all of that stuff. But what happens after you're in there for a little while? Your eyes begin to adjust, right? And you're able to see where you're going. You're able to see those things. And so but before long, you're in this darkness, but you find yourself adjusted to it. And so then the darkness isn't as uncomfortable as it was. You begin to be much more comfortable in it and even moving around and able to walk around in it because you've adjusted to it. The same thing happens when we allow stuff into our lives here, when we allow things to creep in. When we allow greed and when we allow immorality and when we allow, you know, all kinds of stuff to creep in, we get comfortable and before long we don't pay it the attention that we once did. Could it be that the majority of our homes have found themselves not being blessed and separated from God because we've allowed the darkness to overtake our understanding? Could it be that we're struggling in so many areas because we've let things creep in and we've found ourselves in the darkness and so we've just become now comfortable with it so that we can move around just a little bit, enough to get everything done? Could it be that our families are suffering because of that, that we're missing out on the goodness that God has for us because we've allowed so many impurities to creep into our homes? To creep in and find us looking for things that aren't there because we can't see them because we can't understand them. So now we've got to this place. Verse 19, I love, it says, having lost all sensitivity. Now think about that. What have we become insensitive to? You know, I really got to thinking because, you know, last week I shared with you, you know, I've got this 24 fixation where I'm watching like Jack Bauer, you know, like 15 years later, and I'm all into this. I got to watch the next episode because I want to know what happens next. You know, what's the next hour all about? And so I get in it, but as I watched it this week, I got to tell you, man, it messed me up. Because I'm reading this and then I'm watching that and people are getting killed and just all kinds of stuff happening. And I'm like, man, have I become so insensitive to things like this that now I've allowed those things and what do I allow next into my life? And I really had to back up and at least until God gives me direction otherwise, I'll just tell you, I'm not watching it. I know that sounds extreme to a lot of us because it's just what we always do. You know, we're used to that. Everybody does it, right? We all watch it. You know, it's on every show and it's on everything that we do. But you know what Mama used to say? Mama said, but you know, if everybody jumps off a cliff, are you going to jump off with them? And if I do, that's not going to be a very healthy thing. And so we got to think about that. What is it that God wants us to do? I'm not saying, you know, this is not a, let's all move out to the country into a and live on a ranch together and not, you know, no TV, no computers, no, you know, you can't have any of that stuff. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just saying maybe it's time that we have to look a little bit closer at the things that we have before us, and have we become insensitive to something that God doesn't want us to have anything to do with. So we're going to look into that today, because here's the point that we made yesterday, that we're not just a Christian family, but we're to be a Christ-centered home. We're not just to be a Christian family. Listen, if you ask people out there, they're going to say, you know, 80% of people you talk to are going to say, yeah, we're Christians. But the reality is they're not Christ-centered. That's the big difference. If we're truly a follower of Christ, He's the center, and everything else that we do revolves around that. But if we're just Christian, we can get by with whatever we want to get by with because it's okay. And we don't have anything helping us along in understanding that. We've become darkened and we've lost sensitivity. So we need to be able to keep ourselves where we need to be, because God wants us to have something different. He wants us to be different so that the world sees something different, so that they can have something different, and more people can experience the goodness of God in the reality of salvation and eternal life. So here's the thing. We've been missing out, but we don't have to. Psalm 119, verse 9 and 10 says this. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? All right, so we're talking about having a pure heart and keeping ourselves from losing that sensitivity. How can we stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. Now, here's this thing. You've got to be able to answer this. Young people, if we're telling somebody, you know, growing up, if we're telling something, we tell them, yeah, you stay pure. You know, we want our kids to be pure. Hello? Hello? You're not going to answer now because I'm watching. No. Anyway, so he says, stay on the path of purity. You can go ahead and answer it. I'm just, you know, it's okay. By living according to your word, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. Why? Because my heart is the thing. Why are we struggling? If we're trying to bring up a kid, we want to tell them to stay pure, stay on the right path, stay clean, and stay, you know, sensitive to the things that God doesn't want us to have anything to do with. Don't stray away. Don't do this and don't do that. But culture is always telling them the opposite, right? Culture is always saying, follow your heart. Well, what's the heart? It's deceitful, right? It's deceitful above all things. And who can understand it? So we need to be able to do it because, you know, you follow your heart, here's what happens. You begin to follow your heart, and man, he is hot. Yeah, and all of a sudden, there's something that happens. And now you find yourself in a place that you don't need to be, whether you're married or not married, something can happen. Follow your heart, what happens? Man, she smells so good. And before long, you find yourself in a place that you shouldn't be, whether you're married or not married. You know, that's why I buy my wife really cool perfume, because I love to smell her, and she smells good. I like that. All right? So I'm just being honest. I mean, it's real stuff. So here's the thing. If we want to have a family that is experiencing the blessedness of God, then we've got to do some things. We've got to follow along. And so here's how we read that if we want to apply this to our families to be able to see it. 119, written a little bit different, says this. How can our family stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. We seek you with all our heart. Do not let us stray from your commands. Now, that's if we're going to have this pure heart for our families to allow them to speak, to see that goodness, then we've got to be able to say that and read it that way. Some of you are here today and you're saying, but Ron, listen, man, you're pounding this family thing. And man, I don't even have a family. I'm not married. I don't have a boyfriend or girlfriend. I'm just enjoying life, man. I can watch what I want. I can drink what I want. I can smoke what I want. I can hang out with who I want. I can go where I want. I can do, and you know, it sounds like I'm getting ready to bust out in a rap. I know, but the thing is that you can say that now, but let me just tell you, in a few years, hopefully that's all going to change and things are going to be a lot different. It's a whole lot easier to build a life of righteousness on a foundation of righteousness. It's very hard to build a home of righteousness on a foundation of sinfulness. And so this is the time for you to get this right. This is time for you to pay attention and listen to what the scriptures are teaching all of us today so that we can begin to build that and begin to go in the direction that he has for us. So let's begin to focus in on this. Let's acknowledge that just perhaps in our homes, our eyes have grown accustomed to the darkness. So let's just assume that we have all experienced this insensitivity to things around us that haven't happened, that we shouldn't have allowed to happen. Things have happened in us, and so now we're at this place. So how now can we practically, create a culture of purity in our homes? We found ourselves here. We are all struggling with it. Some of us maybe aren't yet, but we could be in any time. Some of us still have little kids, so we haven't got to those teenage years. And so how can we begin now to create that culture so that later we don't have to do it? Here's the thing, because let me just tell you, I believe this with all my heart. You're not going to just wake up one day with your kids and say, well, doggone, they're holy. Can you imagine that? I'm just amazed. Look at that. Just pure and holy. I don't know, you know, but I'll take credit. No, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. So here's how we do it. Number one, get your heart right. Get your heart right. That's where I had to start, is to get my heart right. If I'm going to lead my family to be able to experience this blessedness from a pure heart, then I got to start with me. I can't go point out faults in my wife. I can't hammer on my kids. I can't do anything. I got to start with me, because that's where I can work the most. I got to get my heart right. I got to begin to have purity in me before I can ever share it with my family. Here's what Proverbs 4:23 says. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Guard your heart. He says above what? All else. What? How much is all? It's above everything else. You got to guard your heart. That who you are, who you are, and where everything flows out of you from. You got to guard it. Guard your heart so that we can begin to see our lives the way that God sees it. Too often we look at everybody else, but we got to begin with us. We got to begin to decide what's right and what's wrong. What is it that God wants in my life? What is it that he wants in my family? You got to begin to look at people that we hang out with and say, man, am I allowing them to have too much influence in how my family acts? So sometimes we might have to cut some ties. And that don't mean that you shun them. It just means that now you got to begin to pray for them differently. You got to make some choices, and you got to say no some. And you might have to spend some less time with them because they're going to continue to want to do what they want to do. So that you got to make that choice. I get calls all the time from people wanting me to help them with things. And listen, I can't make choices for you. I will pray my guts out for you. I will wear my knees out, but I can't make your choices for you. You got to do that. You got to be willing to take that step. Above all else, guard your heart. That means don't put yourself and your heart in a position that allows things around it to influence you. You got to make some tough choices. You got to make some choices about what you are entertained by. You're going to have to decide what kind of music you listen to, what kind of movies you watch, what kind of books you read. You know, if anybody even reads books anymore, you know, so you got to do that. You got to make choices about those things. People want to let their conscience be their guide. Let me just tell you, man, your conscience, what we talk about our conscience being our guide is our heart. It's saying, let my heart show me what feels right. What do we already know again? It's deceitful. It will always lead you down a path that when it's alone and set on its own, it will lead you the wrong place. When God is in it, the Holy Spirit is guiding you and showing you, and that's the heart that you're from, then that's a good place. But for most of us, it's just leading out of whatever feels right. We got to be able to make those choices. Scripture teaches our consciousness can actually be pretty messed up, and so we've got to be able to follow it. We can deceive ourselves so easily. Yesterday, my daughter Allie, who's 12, came to me, and we got Netflix, and she came to me and she said, Dad, can I watch this movie? And she knows that she's got to come ask me before she watches anything, and she knows that I can see the history, so I know what's watched on it. And so she comes to me and she says, Dad, can I watch this movie? And she begins to read this whole, the whole description to me. And I'm thinking, man, there's got to be something questionable in here. And I'm waiting on her, and she reads through. It's a girl who lost her dog and, all this stuff. And she said, and it's rated G. I'm like, honey, you can watch G-rated movies. Not that they're all good, but we can all safely say G movies are pretty safe to do. But I was like, man, that was pretty cool that she actually asked me, could she watch a G-rated movie? And so something is good there. She was guarding her heart and making sure that she came to me with that. And so maybe some of us need to say, God, can I watch this R-rated movie? I think if you read the little descriptions and all the things, he would very clearly say to you, no. It's just not good. It's going to put you in the darkness, and you're going to become insensitive to some things. And now other things are going to creep into your life, and it's going to create it. Now, you got to be real about it. Now, some of you I know are going to, somebody's going to get mad at me. But listen, I can't go past the Magic Mike thing, y'all. I'm serious. Now I got to be real with you. Because here's the difference. If a dude was to go see a movie that was like Magic Mike, we would jump up and down and say, he is all into pornography. That's messing him up. That's ruining my relationship. But if a woman goes, it's like, man, that's gonna make my relationship better. No, listen, it's all the same. You can't draw a line somewhere and say that's okay, but that's not. It's the same thing. And I know some of you have already seen it, and you can just get mad at me all you want. I'm sorry, but it's a reality. Because things are gonna creep into your relationship that just don't need to be there. We gotta be even on the scale. We got to be able to hold tight to it because we become insensitive to it. And that's just one example. I could give you tons where sometimes the things just don't sway the same way, but they should. And we got to be real about how that influences us and how that makes us make different, hold different decisions based on what we've allowed to take away part of our understanding. It's the reality for us. Guard your heart. The second thing that we need to do to create this culture is parent to the heart. If we're gonna have our families experience this pureness, we've got to parent from the heart. Some of you may be saying, well, my kids are already grown and out of the house. Listen, it's never too late to begin to parent from the heart. Most of us do it to the actions, right? We parent to our kids' actions and how they do what they do. We punish them for that. But the reality is we can parent them to the heart before they ever make those choices and find themselves there. Then we can see them experience things totally different. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7 says this, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him.'" He's talking about Saul, and this dude was, amazing. And the ones before David, when they were looking at the brothers, and he had the size and all the attributes you would think of. But Samuel says, listen, God doesn't look at those things. The Lord doesn't do that. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. We need to understand God's not worried about all this. We can doll it up and pretty it up, and I kind of like my goatee and all that stuff. But God doesn't care if I got a goatee or not. He doesn't care about whether my hair does this or that. He doesn't care whether I'm in shape or not in shape. Thank God. He doesn't care about all those things. He cares about what I look like inside. And we got to understand that. That's why I went really casual today. You know, I know every Sunday's casual today, but I went t-shirt and casual shorts, shoes today. I'm like, let's just do it. But he doesn't care about our outside. He's focused in on the inside. Jesus was always working on this because people, the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the time, had it all in shape. You know, they knew all the scriptures, they knew all the rules and laws, and they knew all of this stuff. And so Jesus came along and he began to mess them up a little bit with their thinking, because he was like, listen, you've heard, don't murder, but I say if you hate somebody and if you talk about them, that you've murdered them. If you assassinate their character, you've murdered them. Now, that'd give us all a life sentence in here, wouldn't it? If it came down to us talking about other people and putting other people down and judging them and looking at them, man, all of us would be serving a life sentence because we've all done it. But the scripture says that we need to be careful of that, that we need to love people. We've got to love God first. That's why we put that in our mission statement. You're going to hear it over and over again. We are here to help people develop a love for God. We want to love God most of all. But then we want them to develop a love for other people, because we got to love everybody else. We got to love people whether they do unlovable things. We still got to love them. And then we got to love telling people about Jesus. That's our thing, because Jesus is worthy of that. And we need to be able to do it. The Old Testament said, don't commit adultery. Jesus said, let me just tell you, if you look lustfully upon a woman, guess what? You've already committed adultery. If you look lustfully at another man, all right, just keeping it even, y'all. You look lustfully at another man, you've committed adultery. He was being real about it. He was making sure that we understood that there's more to it than just these black and white things. We got to understand, we got to see it the way that he sees it, because he sees it from the heart and what our motives are and our intents are. For us, we might think that being generous, maybe being generous is giving a couple bucks to the dude with the sign at the corner. Well, that's good. That's being generous. I get you. That's being generous to help him out and all that. But here's what, where generosity changes to something else. When we drive away and we begin to talk about all the things he's going to do with the money we just gave him. Doesn't that change generosity a little bit? I think it changes it a lot. We become worried about something that's totally different. What about when we leave church? Our kids are in the back seat and we're trying to teach them all about generosity. They've already heard us talk about the guy who's going to go buy the liquor with the money we gave him. And now we leave church and say, over at church, man, that's all they talk about is money. Just talk about money all the time. One, it's not true. But two, what do you think that teaches your kids about what generosity is? What do you think that teaches your kids about what the scripture says about how we're to give? See, when we're doing that, we can find ourselves becoming very greedy. In fact, let me just show you what it looks like sometimes, how we treat our kids.
Gee, I sure do love stuff. I love buying it, I love owning it, and the best part is, it's all mine.
Hey.
No.
You didn't even know what I was going to ask for.
It doesn't matter. It's all mine and you can't have it.
What are you even going to do with all this stuff? Some of this is pretty expensive. You've got a surfboard and... is that a crown? And a functioning lightsaber?
You're just jealous.
What use could you possibly have for a giant claw?
Oh, you just wait. One day I'm gonna need that giant claw, and you're gonna look awfully silly asking a question like that.
But you have three broken spaceships that you always say you're gonna fix up, but they just sit there. Plus you've got a boat. Actually, that's relatively normal. But what's up with that alligator that speaks Creole?
Bonsoir.
Look, I think you're missing the point. It's not about what it is, it's about who owns it. And that's me. It's all mine, not yours. So buzz off. You can't have any of it.
Hey, Dad, Cindy wanted to play with my toy train, but I don't want her to.
Now, son, it's always good to learn to share with others.
Gee, thanks, Dad. You're right. Can I play with that lightsaber?
No.
All right, so that's not really an ad for the book, but you can go get it, because there's some really good stuff in that book, by the way, as parents. But the reality is, isn't that us? Oh, we don't want to, we got our stuff and we hold on to it and it's ours and we, you know, just you can't do that. But, and the whole time we're telling our kids, you should share. You should, don't you do that. Don't you take that away from them. You know, if you throw a toy in the middle of a bunch of little kids, man, they're going to fight over that joker. And for us as adults, we get upset about that. But the reality is, that's often how we are about our stuff, especially when it comes to money. We like to hold on to it, and we teach our kids that one, we teach them one thing and we live a whole nother thing. But we got to parent to their heart and show them why they're to be generous. We're teaching why they don't want to find themselves in places that they don't need to be. We want to teach them why they don't have friends that are going to lead them in wrong directions. We got to teach them why. Teach them to have the right heart. You know, you take kids and you say, how many of you have more than one kid? How many? So some of you, all right, so here's the thing. One kid ever done something to the other kid, and you say, go tell your sister that you're sorry. But, no, go tell your sister that you're sorry. Sorry. Now, is that a good motive? Is that a clean, pure apology? No. You know, that's the way that they do. That we need to teach them that the heart needs to be different, that the motives have to be different for them to truly experience the blessedness that God wants to give them. It's got to come out of the pureness of the heart. Now, if I haven't offended any of you so far, I'm gonna try to get you with point number three. So here we've talked about some good stuff. But here is where we go. Point number three, we need to pursue perfect purity of the heart. We need to pursue perfect purity of the heart. I'll try to say that three times really fast. It will not come out. But we need to pursue perfect purity of the heart. We're going to have to pursue it. That's a key word, is pursue. Because listen, none of us can achieve that on our own. There's no way that we can do that without it. Remember what we said earlier, that without Christ, there is no such thing as a pure heart? Well, the truth is that we can't pursue perfect purity without him in our lives for sure. We've got to be able to have him help us to be able to move in that direction. I mean, so I know what you're saying. Perfect? Ron, really, none of us are perfect. How many times do we like to use that phrase? You know, none of us are perfect. You know, we wave that one. We wave that flag all the time. But the reality is none of us are perfect. But that doesn't mean we can't try to be. That doesn't mean that we can't pursue it with the help of a God who created a universe that has made everything that we see when he's on our side. Don't you think we can at least head that direction? That's why we've got to look at it. We've got to pursue perfect purity of the heart. Ephesians 5 verse 3 says, but among you, there must be not even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Now listen, even a hint, not even a teensy-weensy little bit, Ron, I didn't say it. He said it. God said that through his word, using the Apostle Paul as he spoke to the Ephesians. He says, listen, you can't let even a hint be there. And listen, there's no mistake that I've talked a lot about sexual immorality. It's something that I'm passionate about helping other people avoid because I know that I've fallen into it and it will get you, and I get all of that. But here's the reality. I had somebody say to me one time, and they have no idea the impact that statement has had on me in a very, very, very positive way. They said, "Ron, it's like you had an epiphany, and now you want everybody else to have that epiphany." And you know what? I have spent hours upon hours upon hours chewing on that, and God really used it in a great way. And you know what the truth is? I have, and I do. That epiphany is Jesus. And the reason that I want everybody to have it is I want everybody to experience him for who he is. There is no way possible for me to fully communicate to you who Jesus is. I mean, I can't tell you the amazing things that he's done in my life, taking me from sin and from death to life. And I do want every single person that I come in contact with to be able to experience that. But I also, when it comes to this area, man, I want to see families not be torn apart by that mess. I want to see men not have to be secretive and hidden with shame and guilt because of the choices that they've made. I don't want to see more men experience what I've experienced. And so what that statement has been amazing to me. And I'm so thankful that person shared that with me because it helped me so much in how I communicate it, because I think it helps me communicate it even better. Because I want people to have what I have. I want people to experience that because we miss it so much. I think what we often think is that I'm alone in that, and maybe because I'm not experiencing it, nobody else is. The truth is you need to come hang out with me, and you need to read my emails, and you need to get the phone calls that I get, and you need to be able to sit in the meetings that I sit in, and your view would change drastically. You should talk to some of the wives that I talk to. It would change. Because this, why do you think he even brought that up? Because it's powerful. And it will mess up our relationships. There can't be a hint of sexual immorality. There can't be a hint of greed. There can't be a hint of any other thing there. Maybe that just focuses it and highlights it a little bit, but don't forget the rest. All of those things there. That's why I do want people to meet Jesus, because he's the only one that can help any of us overcome this. He's the only one that can walk us through the things that we go through and bring us out on the other side in a positive place where we can then be a great impact on the world by him using us to share the gospel and to help people meet him and be changed by him and experience eternity with him. Listen, church, we've got to get serious about what the scripture teaches, and we've got to get that epiphany, and we've got to want everybody else to get it too. It's time for us to be serious about what he wants to do in our lives. If we want to have blessed homes, we've got to be willing to help us and pursue purity in our hearts. We can't just keep talking about it. We can't just get upset because a flag gets taken down or one gets put up. We can't just get mad because something happens or doesn't happen. We've got to be willing to do what the scripture teaches us and love God and love other people and want to experience the blessedness that he wants to give us. We can keep sitting around, and we can keep just being what the church has become, and we can just keep letting things just happen we'll gather in our basement if we have to. No, we don't have to do that. We can be the church. We can go take the gospel outside of here. We have the greatest tool, the greatest message and story that's ever been written and told and actually happened. And we can take it and use it to change the world. We can go feed people, but listen, we can't change their lives. It's a good thing to feed people. We can clothe people. It's a good thing to clothe people. We can't change their lives. We can give them the gospel. We can change their life forever, for eternity. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Some of us are in the room are saying, "But Ron, listen, you just don't know, man. I've messed up so much. They don't know the stuff that I've done. I've done half, you know, more. I've done twice as much as what you've talked about this morning. You know what? I identify with you way closer than I do somebody that's perfect. So I have two. The difference is that I know the one who is perfect, who's taken something that's messed up and not worth anything, and he made it worth everything. He gave me an eternal value. And guess what? He can give you that same eternal value. You need to know how valuable you are today. And the opportunity you have in these moments to take all that negative stuff and let Jesus handle it, because he's already has. He hung on a cross and died for it. And he was buried and raised again so that you could experience not only forgiveness of all of that, but eternity in heaven with him. So today, let me ask you, are you pursuing purity? Are you going after it? Are you going after it with Christ's help? Or are you just okay with living life with the status quo, just being the good old American family, with letting everything else dictate how you manage your household? Husbands, I think it's time to stand up and do something different. Dads, it's time to do something different. Moms, it's time to do something different. Mothers and wives, it's time to do something different. Kids, it's time to do something different. Let's pursue purity. Let's watch God do the most amazing things around us. Let's pray. God, thank you for today. Thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for your word. God, I love the fact that you say in Ezekiel 36:26, that you say this: I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. God, today I pray that there will be people who will give up their heart of stone and that will receive that heart of flesh. God, I pray that there are people today that will allow you to take the old heart away and give them a new heart. God, that there will be people in this room who will say, you know what, I'm not going to live like that anymore. But God, I can only live the way you want me to live, with you carrying me through. God, today I pray that there'll be families that'll be changed and brought together because there'll be a unity in this pursuit of purity. God, I pray that there'll be marriages that are brought back to a place of unity because they choose to follow you, to seek the things that you want them to seek. God, whether it's in their relationship, in their finances, in their jobs, or their parenting together, whatever it may be, God, that they'll pursue you and that perfect purity that you ask us to go after. God, I pray in these moments that you'll change hearts and you'll change lives. For those that are here that have never met you before, that they'll come to a knowledge of you right now that allows them to experience the true forgiveness of salvation. To acknowledge that Jesus died on the cross for their sins, was buried, and on the third day was raised again so that they could be forgiven and set free for all eternity. God, for those that need to be freed from things that have been creeping into their lives, God, may that happen in these moments. God, as the band plays, may there be freedom in this place to make the decisions that need to be made, whether it's to pray at the altar and just give you whatever it is in their lives, whether it's to go to someone and hug their neck and tell them that they love them and they want to be forgiven. God, whatever it is that you need to do in these moments, may you have freedom to do it in Jesus' name.